But this morning we're going to get back to John chapter 13, and actually we're going to come to the very last verses of this chapter, in which, if you remember, the Lord Jesus has been teaching his disciples as well as us about real love and real service. Love not just for him and service not just for him, but love and service for each other. And so Jesus served them by washing his disciples' feet so that he would be an example of to us that we ought to serve others in the same way. And then, of course, he gave this new commandment that we considered last time, that we are to love one another even as he loves us. But as we come to these last three verses, from verses 36 through 38, once again, we find Peter, right? Peter has been kind of left out of the scene for the last few Sundays because he was probably still stinging a little from the rebuke that Jesus gave him when he, at first, did not want Jesus to wash his feet, and then he said, okay, well, go ahead and wash all of me. And at that point, he probably decided to keep silent for a little while. But in verse 36, he again speaks to Jesus, perhaps after he regained some sense of his own composure. But instead of acknowledging Jesus' example of service that he and the rest of the disciples just witnessed around that table, or even acknowledging Jesus' exhortation to love that he and the rest of the disciples just heard, Peter is focused more on something else that Jesus told them. Back in verse 33, when Jesus, again taking the role of the Father at that Last Supper, which was a Passover meal for the Jewish nation, he says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. Again, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. And that is what Peter has in mind when we come to verse 36 and read, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, he doesn't talk to him about the service that he was an example of. He doesn't talk to him about the love that he was supposed to have for each other. He says, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst, or you are not able to follow me. Now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. What we find in these verses is that even though Peter starts out right, with the right intention and the right desire to be with Jesus and to follow Jesus wherever Jesus would go, Peter still did not have a full understanding or grasp on his own weakness and his own inability to do so. His own weakness, his own inability to even follow Jesus the way Jesus deserved. And that is why Jesus would soon actually have to leave Peter. That's why he addressed Peter and the disciples in the first place in verse 33 and said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Because it's through Jesus' greatest acts of love and service. Again, he was just a picture, providing a picture of the truest love and truest service that he would do on the cross in just a few hours' time. It is through his greatest acts of love and service that he would enable Peter, as well as the rest of his disciples, and really the rest of us, to be able to follow him faithfully. To follow Jesus faithfully. And so even with what we find there in verse 36, even with this right intention, this right desire, Peter needed Jesus. Right? Peter needed Jesus. More than he knew. In fact, we get a sense of Peter's good and right intention there in verse 36 when he asked Jesus that simple question, which probably you and I would have asked too. You know, Jesus talks about service. Okay, got it, Jesus, I'll serve you. And I'll serve each other. Love each other. Okay, I'll love each other. But Jesus, didn't you just say that you're going to go somewhere where we can't go? I mean, Peter was a man of like passions as we are, all right? And he knew that he wanted to be with Jesus. He had a desire to follow after Jesus. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to go someplace you can't follow me. And so he asked Jesus again, Lord, whither goest thou? Now, when Peter addresses Jesus as his Lord, again, that's the same word that can also mean master. Perhaps he was, at least just in a cursory way, acknowledging the precepts that Jesus gave to his disciples to love and serve each other. Okay, Lord, I get it. I'm going to serve. I'm going to love. But the focus of Peter's question was not so much on the precepts of Jesus as on the presence of Jesus. And he just didn't understand what Jesus meant when he told them that whither I go, ye cannot come. And that bothered Peter. I mean, Peter had been with Jesus since the day that Jesus called Peter. And he'd been with Jesus now for 3 years, hearing his words, seeing his wonders, experiencing just the great fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even a fellowship that we probably have a hard time imagining in that day and age. But the fact that Jesus says, I'm going to go away and you cannot follow me, that concerned Peter. Because Peter wanted to be with Jesus, and Peter knew that he needed Jesus. Do you realize that is the kind of desire and tension that we ought to have as followers of Christ? Yes, we want to know the precepts of the Lord, but we also want to know the presence of the Lord, don't we? That's what Paul even said, that I may know him. That was his great desire. That was his great intention, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was Peter's desire as well. And that ought to be our desire as well. But once again, as we've seen time and time in the Gospel of John, Jesus answers Peter's question. But not with the answer that Peter wanted to hear. Again, Peter's saying, well, where are you going? Jesus doesn't answer that. Instead, Jesus answers Peter with the answer Peter needed to hear most. So instead of telling him where he was about to go, he tells Peter that he can't go with him to where he was going. Look at the rest of verse 36. Jesus answers him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But, to encourage him, thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now when Jesus says to Peter here, thou canst not follow me, Jesus is focused on something entirely different than Peter. Peter was looking at where, and Jesus was pointing out why he couldn't follow him. Peter had the right intention. He had the right desire to be with Jesus wherever he went. But Peter also did not realize his own weakness and his own inability to do so. He had no idea how weak he really was. I mean, after being 3 years with Jesus, his own disciple, one of his closest disciples, where Jesus would go, Peter would follow. When Jesus would pray separately from his disciples, he often would invite Peter and James and John along with him. He was certainly one of his closest disciples, and yet Peter did not understand how really weak he was and how he really was unable in his own might, in his own power, in his own strength to follow Jesus, even though after 3 years he probably thought, I can do this. I've heard his words. I've seen his wonders. I can do this. But Jesus says to Peter, Peter, no, you are not able to follow me where I'm going now. You may have been able to follow me. You may have been able to, you know, get up in the morning in your own strength and put your sandals on with your own two hands and follow after me with your own two feet. But from this point on, Peter, you are unable to follow me because you are weaker than you know. And so Jesus reveals to Peter the weakness, first of all, of Peter's own ignorance. The weakness of Peter's ignorance. Not only did Peter not understand where Jesus was about to go, Peter did not understand that he could not follow Jesus, even though he had done so for the last 3 years. Peter was not able to follow Jesus for several reasons. I mean, if you think about where Jesus was going, where was Jesus going? His final destination would be heaven. He was heading back home, heading back to experience the glory that he had with his Father before he came into this world. And so one of the reasons why Peter could not follow where Jesus was about to go was because of the distance, the great distance of that place where Jesus was about to go. You see, from where Peter sat, and I think even from where we sit today, that place where Jesus was about to go seems so far away, doesn't it? Yesterday, after the men's Bible study, I got home and got a call from my wife who was out doing some shopping, and she said, you know, her parents wanted to go visit some cemeteries down near Hope, Indiana, where a lot of my father-in-law's family was from. And there was one particular cemetery that they hadn't been to, and we actually hadn't been to, and so we did our trip. We headed down that way and hit a bunch of those cemeteries, and you know, it was really interesting to read some of those epitaphs on those. And some of them were very old, back in the 1800s, and a little hard to read, and you know, I had to get a good angle on it to try to figure it out. And I remember there was one particular epitaph of a relation of my father-in-law's, and of course my wife as well, and it said something similar to what we probably heard before. It said, "As you are now, I once was. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare yourself and follow me." And I thought, what an amazing epitaph. What amazing thing to think about. In fact, after I read that, I prayed and I said, "Lord, teach me to number my days." Because so often we get wrapped up in our world and we forget about the world to come. So often we get wrapped up with our own problems and our own pains, our own struggles, even our own joys, and we forget about what is yet beyond the veil, yet beyond this world. And that epitaph was on the stone of a 15-year-old girl, the loss of which probably broke the hearts of her parents in a way that we could never imagine. And yet they chose to put that on her tombstone so that maybe even after years, I would come there and read that and pray and ask the Lord to teach me again to number my days. Sometimes heaven feels so far away. The distance between us and heaven is so, so far. There's no way we, in our own strength, in our own might, in our own ability, can ever get there. We need Jesus, don't we? And I think here, Peter is starting to forget about just how far heaven is for him apart from Jesus. I mean, really, if you think about it, for Peter, heaven was already there. Jesus is what makes, or who makes heaven, heaven. And so heaven had come to earth, and he was experiencing heaven and tasting heaven in Jesus right then, right there. And for him, that heaven, that heavenly place was so far off. And that's why Jesus tells Peter again here, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." That place, that heavenly place, was just too far for Peter to go on his own. But another reason why Peter was not able to follow Jesus, and this again was the weakness of his own ignorance, was because of the difficulty of the path that Jesus was about to take to get back to his home in heaven. You know, we talk about the glory that Jesus experiences in heaven even today, and yet how did he have to go? What was the pathway in order to experience that future glory? Was the very glory of the cross itself, a difficult, dark, deadly path that Jesus himself would go on. And of course, Jesus knew the difficulty of that path that just started when Judas left the building. He even tells Judas, "What you're going to do, do quickly, go out there." And Jesus knew that that path started. I mean, it started even before. It started when he came into this world. But he knew that at that point, at that moment, nothing could change. That man had already rejected and betrayed the Lord in his heart, and he was about to do so in word. And now Jesus says, "Whither I go, you cannot follow me now," because the difficulty of the path was just too hard. But Peter doesn't know that yet. He doesn't fully understand just how dark and difficult and deadly that night and that path would become. And again, that's why Jesus said that to Peter. "Peter, you are unable to follow me because the path is too hard for you to go on your own." Another reason why Peter was not able to follow Jesus was because of his own disability. His own disability and the progress in his own walk with the Lord. Again, Peter, 3 years with Jesus, he thinks, I got this. Is that all you want us to do, Lord? Serve each other and love each other? Okay, I can do that. Jesus says, Peter, no. Where I'm going, you cannot go because there's some disability in your own nature, in your own character, in your own life, and in your own walk before me. And I'm about to show you that. Sometimes we rest on our own laurels as Christians. We think, okay, I got this. Jesus says, serve each other. Okay, I've been serving. Jesus says, love each other. Okay, I've been trying to love. And yet we forget just how much we still need Jesus. We need Jesus in order to serve, in order to love, in order to progress in our walk with God. You see, the biggest obstacle Peter had to overcome in order to follow and be with Jesus was not something external to him. It was internal to him. He was not yet ready to follow Jesus in the most important sense. And so again, Jesus answers Peter, whither I go, thou canst not. You're not able to follow me now. Because Peter's disability was too great. His spiritual disability was too great. And it was just not time for him to follow Jesus to his ultimate destination. Even though that was Peter's desire. Oh, I want to be with Jesus. Jesus says, you can't follow me now. Now again, even though Jesus tells Peter about this weakness and this inability and this ignorance, he also wants to encourage Peter, just like he does us. You know, we know that it's not quite time yet for us to be with Jesus in heaven because we're still here. But Jesus wants to encourage us the same way he encourages Peter. He says, you know, Peter, thou shalt follow me afterwards. Don't be discouraged. Thou shalt be with me afterwards. In fact, if you go to chapter 14, sometimes we forget that those chapters weren't in the original. Jesus also adds to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye do know. And the way ye know. We'll look at that next week. But again, Jesus is encouraging Peter and even us and saying, yes, you may not be able to follow me now. Not yet, but you will. Because it's not our strength that gets us to heaven. It's his strength. It's not the path that we follow that gets us to heaven. It's the path that Jesus went down in order to blaze that trail for us to get to heaven. And so, again, Jesus answers, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, because of Peter's own spiritual progress. And it wasn't just time. See, someday Peter would follow Jesus. He would follow Jesus all the way to heaven because all the distance, all the difficulty, all his disability to get where Jesus was going would be overcome. Not by Peter, but by Christ. Peter didn't understand that yet. He still had room to grow. But so sadly, sometimes we don't fully understand this as well. You know, like Peter, I think most of us are following the Lord by faith, but we forget just how weak we are in our own ignorance about the things of God. We think we've got this, when in reality, we need him. How many times have you wondered about why you can't be with Jesus yet? I've talked to many of our members that have gone on to be with the Lord, and there were times when they wondered, and probably times they still wonder, why did it take so long? Why does heaven still feel so far away? Why does the path often so difficult? Why does the spiritual struggle within us so real and so strong? We need to remember these words to Peter. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Not yet. You still have so much to learn about God's wisdom and God's will. Realizing our ignorance, the weakness of our ignorance, and following after his wisdom, his will. We need to be teachable as we rest in his promise, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Because one day, all the distance, all the difficulty, all the disability will be gone because Jesus is the one that made it all possible, just like he did for Peter. But in the meantime, remember that you need Jesus to overcome the weakness of your own ignorance. Even when your intention and your desire to be with the Lord is good and right, we're still weak in our minds. We're still weak in our ignorance. But then we see in verse 37, we see from Peter another weakness that this brings out. And that is the weakness of his impatience. Aren't we impatient people? I think we all are. I think this impatience is something that is ingrained in us because we know that the best is yet to come. And even when something good happens to us, we know that, especially as believers, the best is still yet to come. I remember as a kid, always anticipating Christmas. In fact, every time Angie even brings up Christmas, I always say, I love Christmas, because I do. I always anticipate, expect it. I can't wait for it. I get impatient for it. And that's always been the case. In fact, yesterday we went with our family to Cracker Barrel, and we had an hour wait at Cracker Barrel. Can you imagine? We actually waited an hour to eat there. There was an hour wait everywhere else we went. But we get in there, and guess what they already have set up? Christmas stuff. And she's like, look, they got Christmas stuff. I said, I know, I love Christmas. She goes, I know, you always tell me that. Because we anticipate it. We're impatient people. But that's what we find here in verse 37 when Peter replies back to Jesus. He says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? He's like a kid waiting for Christmas. Why can't I follow you now? Now, of course, we see Peter's devotion here. He has great devotion to the Lord in these words, but we also see a growing impatience with the Lord. After all, hadn't Peter again followed Jesus up until then? I mean, 3 years now it's been. And as Peter says this, he probably thinks back to when Jesus called him and said, as he was there in the boat, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And now what a change has taken place in his life. He's not a fisher of fish anymore in the Sea of Galilee. He's a true fisher of men following after the will of Jesus Christ. And so in faith, Peter followed Jesus. And ever since then, through all the highs and the lows of Jesus' ministry, he kept on following Jesus. And since Peter was able to follow Jesus up until then, Peter thinks, why can't I follow you now? But what Jesus had in mind was once again different than what Peter had in mind. Jesus was talking about following him from then on, and especially by way of the cross. Though Peter was able to accompany Jesus on the path of his ministry for those 3 years, the path that was now before Jesus, Jesus had to travel alone. It was a solitary path, so that he could then pave the way for Peter and for us to follow. When we struggle with the weakness of our own impatience, as Peter did, and wonder why we can't be or do or have what we want now, even in our walk with the Lord, okay? Again, his intentions are right. His desires are right. We're not talking about intentions and desires that are wrong. But even as Christians, there are things that we want to be and things that we want to do and things that we want to have in our walk with the Lord, in order to serve the Lord and to please the Lord, and yet the Lord says, not yet, not now, wait. When we realize the weakness of our own impatience, we need to learn and remember that the Lord's ways are still higher than our ways, right? His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And even his timing is better than our timing. He makes all things beautiful in his time, doesn't he? We need to learn to be patient, even until the coming of the Lord, as James tells us, and then we can keep following Christ. We need Jesus. We need the Lord. Because so often we forget the weakness of our ignorance about his will. We forget about the weakness of our impatience with the Lord. But then we even see another weakness in Peter's reply to Jesus there in verse 37, and that I think probably hits even more home to us as well. That is the weakness of his own independence. The weakness of his independence. And again, with the best intentions, Peter declares to the Lord there in verse 37, I will lay down my life for thy sake. That could also be translated, I will lay down my very soul, my psuche, for thy sake, Jesus. That is a powerful expression, isn't it? A powerful expression of Peter's resolve to follow Jesus, even if it would cost him his life. He said, Jesus, I will lay down. Not I may, or I will if it comes to it, but I will lay down my life for your sake. And of course, that resolve would be seen in the life of Peter just a few hours' time in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that there was one sword amongst all the disciples? And guess who had that sword? Peter. And as Jesus was being met by those authorities and those soldiers to arrest him, what does Peter do? He takes out that sword and probably thinks in his mind, I will lay down my life for thy sake. And he swings that sword and chops off the ear of Malchus. Look at Peter's resolve. Look at Peter's strength. Look at Peter's ability. Look at Peter's might. And yet, look at Peter's independence, even from God. Again, in the words themselves, we can get a sense of the certainty of Peter's resolve. He says, I will do this. Again, without any doubt, any hesitation. He grabbed that sword and went at it. We get a sense of the completeness of Peter's resolve, even to death. I will lay down my life, he says. Oh, that's admirable. But as admirable as the certainty and of completeness of Peter's devotion is, we must also see the contradiction of Peter's resolve. The contradiction. What did Jesus tell Peter in verse 36? Thou canst not follow me now. Again, you are not able to follow me now, Peter. The distance is too far for you. The difficulty is too hard for you. Your disability is too great for you. It's not too far for me. It's not too hard for me. It's not too great for me, but it is for you. I'm the Lord here, and I'm doing this for you. But Peter, here in verse 37, ignores Jesus completely and in effect tells him, you're wrong, Jesus. Jesus says, you can't. And Peter says, I can. I am able. I will lay down my life for your sake. And by saying those words, Peter contradicts Jesus and actually doesn't just put himself before the Lord, but even in the very place of the Lord. You see, when Peter tells Jesus, I will lay down my life for you, in effect, he's saying, I'm going to lay down my life on behalf of you. I'm going to lay down my life instead of you. He didn't understand that by going before Jesus in that way, he was contradicting the very purpose for which Jesus came into this world. He didn't understand that Jesus was going before Peter to accomplish what Peter could never have done on his own. In fact, he should have known this. Already in the Gospel of John, Peter would have heard in John 6:51 that as the bread of life, Jesus came to give his own flesh for the life of the world. Same word, on behalf of. For the sake of, instead of, the sinful world. Also, in chapter 10, verse 11, Peter would have heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd came to give his life for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep, instead of the sheep. And so Jesus came not so that Peter could give his life for him, but rather that Jesus could give his life for Peter and for us. It was Peter who needed Jesus, and not the other way around. Peter needed a lesson in humility, a lesson of dependence, a lesson of realizing that he is expendable, but Jesus is not. It was Jesus who alone could and would pave the way to heaven, and not Peter. It was Jesus alone who was able to endure the cross so that he might be able to give to his own people his own strength to follow in his steps. Even though Peter, again, has the right desire and the best of intentions, his words here, as one writer says, display not only gross ignorance of human weakness, his own weakness, but a certain haughty, proud independence that is the seed of denial itself. And so using Peter's own words there in verse 38, Jesus says, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake, Peter? Are you really saying this? Do you really mean this? Do you really understand what you're saying?" I'm sure Jesus is repeating these words so that later on, Peter will remember the words, the same words that he said to Jesus in this way. And then Jesus says very clearly, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me," not just once, not just twice, but thrice. I do wonder how Jesus said these words to Peter. Was it in a stern voice as he made this pointed and prophetic declaration to Peter? I mean, he's even pulling out one of those verily, verily statements, right? We're going to find this 25 times total in the book of John, and this is one of them. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Peter, you're weak. You're weaker than you think you are. And before this night is up, before that cock crows, you will deny me three times." Perhaps Jesus said it with a sorrowful voice, a voice full of compassion, knowing what Peter's weakness would bring about to both of them, even breaking the heart of Peter. Again, we're left to wonder how Jesus said these words, but we have no doubt what Jesus said and meant by these words. Jesus revealed to Peter in no uncertain terms that he was not able to follow Jesus on his own. "Peter, you think you understand everything. Peter, you think you know the timing of all things. Peter, you think that you are able to follow after me with your own independence and strength and might. But Peter, you are not able to follow me. Thou canst follow me now." Jesus revealed to Peter that he needed Jesus infinitely more than Jesus needed him. But then also, in his grace, Jesus reveals to Peter that by going ahead alone, he would then enable Peter to follow him later. It's Peter. It's not, "Peter, I don't want you to follow me." "I do. But I want you to realize that you can't follow me on your own. With the weakness of your own ignorance and the weakness of your own impatience and the weakness especially of your own independence." You know, in our minds thinking, especially as human beings and especially as Americans, when we think of strength, we think of independence. But what comes in our walk with God, independence is not a strength. Independence in our walk with God is a weakness. We need Him. If you're following Jesus today, I'm sure that if you were in Peter's shoes, you would have had the same good desire and same good intentions toward the Lord. "I want to be with you. I don't want you to leave. And so if you're going to go somewhere, I'm going to follow you. I mean, I followed you this far, and so I'm going to keep on following you the way I followed you." You see, these are the same desires and intentions that we have as Christians now. And certainly, if you do not have that desire, then you have to wonder if you really are a Christian. You see, the true desire of Christians is to be devoted to Christ. Again, Peter had the right intentions, the great desire. But if we don't have that as our desire, you need to examine yourself, as Paul says, to see if you really are in the faith. But if this is your desire, if this is your intention, you must not keep trying to fulfill your desire on your own. That's the problem Peter had. That's the problem that we have. That's the problem we have every single day when we wake up and we think, "Oh, I want to please Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I want to serve and I want to love like Jesus." And then we try to do it in our own strength. We do it in our own might. Because we don't think that we are weak, when in truth we are. That's a problem we all have. We forget that without Jesus, as Jesus would say here in just a chapter or so, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. Because like Peter, as strong as we think we are, and as strong as we try to be, we're weak. We're weak because of our ignorance of the will and purposes of God. We're weak because of our impatience in the timing of those purposes and those plans. We're weak because of our independence apart from the power and strength of the Lord. We're weak. And the truth is, you're only ready to follow Jesus when he strips away your ignorance, when he strips away that impatience, when he strips away that independence and shows you through Peter's example what that kind of life can ultimately lead to. Instead of devotion to Jesus, what can these weaknesses lead us to? The denial of Jesus. Did you catch that? Instead of devotion to Jesus, your weakness can even lead to the denial of Jesus, as it was about to do in Peter's life in just a few hours' time. So even with the best intentions, you must never rely on your own strength to follow the Lord. We're going to sing in a moment a song that says, I need thee, Lord, I need thee. You need the Lord, you need his strength to follow him. Because remember, just like Peter, without Jesus, the distance is just too far, the difficulty is just too hard, and your disabilities are just way too great to follow him on your own. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for showing us ourselves in Peter today, once again. And Lord, I know that I'm sure in heaven, Peter is thankful that you are using him as an example of the weakness that your people still so often have, even when our intentions and desires are good and right to follow you wherever you want us to go. But Lord, help us to once again realize that we, without you, are nothing. We, without you, can do nothing. We, without you, can be nothing. And so, Father, we need you. Oh, how we need you. And so, Father, I pray that you will strip away the weaknesses. Show us just how weak we really are. We're weak in our ignorance of your wisdom and your will. We're weak in our impatience because we try to get ahead of you in things instead of waiting on the Lord and being patient even until the very coming of our Lord. But especially, Lord, show us the weakness of our own independence, thinking that, oh, we've got this. Jesus says, serve, so I will serve. Jesus says, love, so I will love. I've got this, but once again, without you, we can do nothing. And so, Father, I pray that we will sing from our hearts here in just a moment, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Because, Lord, when we are weak and we realize that we are weak, then we are strong. Because your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.